Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie. Ryan on Twitter
at Tubberty 2FM.
It's 17 minutes past 10 now, and I'm sitting in front of a lady sitting in front of me. Shelley Porges is the National Finance Co-Chair for Ready for Hillary. Hillary Clinton, that is, but also a working mother and a women's rights advocate, and you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Nice
thank
to
you
see
so
you,
much.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
You're from what part of the States?
So I came from Washington, D.C.
Right.
Very excited to be here in Dublin, Ireland for the first time ever, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Is it working for you all right? Because it's a small city compared to where you're coming from.
I have enjoyed it very much. I've only had about a day and a half or so here to wander around and explore, but it's beautiful and have gotten to some of the highlights. Yesterday was at, visited Trinity College and the Book of Kells, which, of course, is a must-see.
Yeah.
Yes. And got around and also got to the Modern Art Museum.
Lovely.
Which was
in
very
Camino.
Beautiful. Yeah,
yeah,
very
yeah.
into modern art. So that was a real treat.
Okay. So what brings you to Ireland? I mean, what
well,
has you
I was lucky enough to be invited by Anne O'Day and Silicon Republic for Inspire Fest to speak about leadership and the leadership lessons I learned from Hillary Clinton. So I was lucky enough to work with Secretary Clinton at the State Department, having worked on her prior campaign, and naturally learned a lot of things from her in that capacity.
The big things you take from the Clinton experience is what? I mean, if you take, say, three lessons you learned from somebody like Hillary.
Well, if you focus on three leadership lessons as opposed to just broadly, what have they done for America, which is so much.
Stick with leadership,
can fill and has filled many books.
Sure.
The three leadership lessons that you can focus on is, first of all, having a vision for how do you move people forward and what do you mobilize around. And, of course, Hillary, famously among many of the visions that she's articulated, was the person to establish what you could call a manifesto, and that is that human rights are women's rights and women's rights are human rights, once and for all, when she spoke those words at the Beijing Women's Conference 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Before that, today we take it for granted that, sort of gender equality is something that we're all working for, but, that certainly was not the case then.
Yes.
The second thing is that leaders take risks. You know, when she decided to run for office the first time in 2008, 2007, actually, she was already a highly accomplished woman. She had been a law firm partner. She had been first lady. She was a U.S. senator. She was a published author, et cetera. She did not need to, sort of shine her star any brighter by taking on something that was as challenging as, running for president of the United States, and yet recognizing that there were many problems to be fixed.
So the risk was key.
So the risk, taking a risk, no matter whether you're male leader, woman leader, that's key. And then finally is elevating others. It's a real misconception that leaders are all about themselves. It's about elevating themselves and, making their names known, whatever. A real leader elevates other people.
Brings the other boats up in the harbor.
Boats up in the harbor and, focuses on what can they do to really solve the problems that need to be solved.
So how did you become acquainted with Hillary Clinton?
Well, it's a good question. I actually was not at all involved in politics until 2007. I came from the private sector. I had a very successful career, both as a corporate executive and then a serial entrepreneur. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area where I always say entrepreneurship is a disease. Even if you sell your company, you move on to your next venture because that's what people do.
It's in the water
in the water. It is in the wine. Northern California, we have beautiful wine industry. But Hillary did come out as first lady and spoke a number of times in the Bay Area during different times, both during President Clinton's campaign and then afterwards as First Lady when she was promoting her health care initiatives and so forth. And so I got a chance to hear her speaking, but had not yet met her. And was so impressed. And I thought, this woman is such a leader. And in fact, now what I like to say, some leaders are born women. And Hillary Clinton's clearly one of them. She from the get-go had these attributes that I just described and others that are characteristic of any kind of leader, male or female.
They've often said that Bill or Hillary would have made a great president. But actually, because of the times, it was obviously had to be Bill because the world wasn't ready. America wasn't ready for a female
president.
That's
very clear.
But they were equally able for it.
They were each incredibly competent and capable, each in their own way. President Clinton, of course, is a unique figure in American politics.
He is
and,
that.
and, uh, you know, uh, whatever else you may think about him, he's probably the most extraordinary politician of our time, as well as someone who benefited America in every way possible. You know, after the Clinton presidency, we had tremendous peace and prosperity, and in a way that he didn't inherit either. So he really helped reduce the deficit and improve the economy and advance the country in so many different ways.
Yeah, I always think that I'm a fan. I mean, I can't be unbiased, unfortunately, I should be, but that's just the way it is. But those 8 years, history will be very kind to them, given what happened essentially 2 years within. Now, we won't go into 9/11 and all that, but they were very peaceful 8 years when you think
exactly.
And in fact, the biggest problem of all was his unfortunate peccadilloes that came out.
Absolutely. No, self-inflicted wounds, as we call them.
There you are. Yeah. But yet they stick together, Bill and Hillary, which is extraordinary despite all of that. How do you feel about that?
Well, here's the thing, and I think, you know, we've done a lot of research in anticipation of this campaign. And Hillary is known to Americans, those who are for her and even those who are against her, is known to Americans to be a tenacious fighter. And so you'll hear her speaking about wanting to be the champion for everyday Americans. And it's because there's a recognition that, first of all, we have moved considerably ahead in our economy. President Obama inherited a disaster, an actual disaster. And we were clearly close to going over the brink, and we didn't. And it was a lot because of the actions that were taken.
Yeah.
But and though our economy has grown for many, many, many quarters now, not everyone in the economy has benefited from that. And so Hillary is about taking on the fight to really represent and champion everyday Americans.
I remember being at a talk in Washington delivered by Hillary herself, and Bill was in the audience, and it was this big hall, and she was giving this, it was the Ireland American Fund, and she was giving this thing, and in comes Bill Clinton sitting at a table about 3 tables from the stage. And the audience, half the heads were looking at Hillary delivering the speech, and the other half, like moths to a light, were looking at the silver-headed fox in the corner who was watching. And what struck me most of all was, now I don't know whether it's showbiz or whether it's the real thing, but it was fascinating because I was watching both, like a tennis match. And as Hillary was talking, he was looking at her, Bill was looking at Hillary, and he looked like a man who was in love. And the point I'm trying to make is that despite all of that, there's some bond between those two people never going to be beaten by anything.
I think that's right. And I think that's a testament to their, not just to their love, to their commitment, to their dedication, to their, I think, also common mission. You know, these are two extraordinarily public service-minded individuals who have contributed more as a couple to the country than just about any other couple you can imagine.
So why are they so divisive, Shelley? Why do people, I mean, whatever about the Republicans, they're always going to probably dislike whoever's in, whatever Democrats in power, but they seem to cause people tend to be into the Clintons or just against the Clintons.
Right. Well, I mean, I think because they have been so accomplished that if you don't like, you know, what they stand for, then you're going to be strongly opposed. And if you don't, And we even have some Democrats, you know, and, you know, this is very personal. When I was working on the last campaign and I was making calls on behalf of Hillary and, you know, I had a lady tell me, oh, you know, I think Hillary's amazing, but like, I can't vote for her. I could never forgive her. I said, forgive her for what? For forgiving Bill, you know? So listen, you know, maybe that lady had some issues in her own life. I don't know, you know, but, you know, people will do what they do. But, you know, what we're seeing is an outpouring of support. So let me hearken to Ready for Hillary. Ready for Hillary is a political action committee that we started 2 years ago to encourage Hillary to run.
Okay.
And
these are the PACs, as they call
them. It's the PAC, right. And what we were doing wasn't trying to raise the hundreds of millions that it will eventually take to win a presidential election. What we were looking to do was to build a grassroots database for her so that should she choose to run, which she now has, she would have a basis for starting. Because remember, she has not been in political, had not been in political life for, you know, 6+ years at that point. And so unlike somebody who's stepping up from the senatorial position who has a big database of political supporters and other kinds of things, she had not been in that world for a while. So that was our purpose, and we were very successful, and we built out a database that was over 3 times what she had when she retired in 2008. And of course today our databases are much richer and more robust with information, so you actually know who you're talking to and so forth. So that's been our contribution. We have actually, by design, you know, when we started Ready for Hillary, we have now shut down Ready for Hillary actually the day after she declared.
Okay.
That was our number one goal, is to encourage her to declare and make sure that she knew that.
You got that bit.
But what I will tell you is we started as any startup with 0 people and $0. and built, far exceeded our own and everybody else's expectations for what a group of essentially volunteers who are just enthusiastic about their candidate could do. And the outpouring of support that we got, high and low, was extraordinary. So though you will hear very vocal people, I don't want to call them on the fringe, they're not a fringe, they are a real constituency, you know, say an array of things about and against Hillary,
yeah,
I can assure you that there is a vast number of people who are very ready for Hillary.
Well, I want to ask you, are the American people ready for a woman president?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
what's, what's taken them so long?
I think that, you know, we always say you can't be what you can't see. But I think the proliferation of more and more women leaders rising to the top, and it's been slow progress. And yeah, don't get me wrong, none of us thinks that it's where it needs to be.
Yeah, we have a terrible track record in Ireland in terms of representation, yeah, in our parliament. We always have to look at Germany to, right, Angela Merkel, sure, and say, look what can be done and how, right, popular she is and,
right,
what she's,
absolutely,
she's essentially the prime minister.
Well, look to Rwanda. Rwanda has over 60% of their elected parliament are women.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, Rwanda's the top in the world.
And is that because of, is that legislated for or is that just by chance?
No. Well, it was initially legislated but at a much lower level, but it began a series of things. And this is kind of what I'm saying. We are unleashing, I think a progression of opportunities here,
yeah,
to engage more and more of the talent in the population to rise up to, you know, serve public office.
So why has, what in your opinion, as an entrepreneur and somebody who's a leader in your own right, mm-hmm, in business sense, why are people the electorate been so slow to accept the prospect of a female candidate and a female
president? Well, I mean, I do think there continues to be and has been a lot of unconscious bias. So which is
sexism
to say,
or bias?
Well, it expresses itself as sexism sometimes, but there's a lot of unconscious bias, meaning, and there's a lot of research around this, so this is not something I made up, but, you know, there's research that shows that if you submit the exact same resume, one of, you know, on top of which one says Ryan and one says Shelley,
yeah,
by definition,
I'll get the job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ryan will get the job. Exactly the same, yeah, resume.
Why do you think that is? 'Cause
that's the unconscious bias. There's an, yeah, assumption that a man is more competent than a woman.
And you as a businesswoman,
yes,
what's your employment strategy?
Well, first of all, I happily no longer need to be employed per
in the
se.
In the day when?
Well, I think...
Did you employ
the
best person for the job, or did you like to balance up the books female to male?
Well, I believe in diversity. I don't think that an organization should be all woman run either.
Yeah.
So just to be very clear, I think, you know, what the research has shown is that diverse management teams and diverse boards have the best outcomes in the commercial side and also best decision making on any side.
So I'll give you an example.
Yes,
let's
please.
Say your company is diverse,
yeah,
and you've got 50 men and 50 women working for you, or say 51 men and 49 women. You,
yes,
really need to balance the books. So in comes Shelley and Ryan looking,
right,
for the job.
Right.
Ryan happens to be better.
I would still hire Ryan.
Would you?
Yeah, because
49-51
is close enough. Now, if you told me I had 30% women and, you know, 70%
okay,
men.
Okay, go with that example.
Yeah, then
you give Shelley
the
job.
Unless there was a massively different set of competencies,
yeah,
I would look to recruit Shelley. Yeah.
Regardless of the... Okay, well, it's just about trying to build
now,
it up.
Having said that,
yeah,
you know, let's translate that now, because you've been asking me about Hillary Clinton and is America ready for women? I don't think America is ready for any woman, as we have recently seen. America was not apparently ready for Sarah Palin. Carly Fiorina is now running on the Republican side. I don't know that, you know, yeah, whether America is ready for her. You,
yeah,
know,
America
so is
ready
anyone.
For Elizabeth
but
Warren?
Some leaders are born. Well, Elizabeth Warren, I think, represents a very thoughtful set of ideas. And I think I know that she already has had a lot of influence both on Hillary's thinking and on many of our thinking in terms of what we need to be doing.
Okay, we'll park her for a second because it's probably putative in that sense.
Well, it's not actually.
It's
so
enough.
Elizabeth Warren, along with all the other Democratic women senators, signed a letter when we were doing Ready for Hillary. We asked the women senators, would you support Hillary Clinton? And they all signed this letter saying, if Hillary Clinton runs for president, I will support her.
So tell me about women supporting women.
Yes.
Not so much in politics, because you're here in Dublin to talk about women and leadership and business.
Right. Uh-huh.
So why are so many women reluctant to take a leadership role in business? And startups, say, for example, maybe it's becoming less common for the the next generation might be a bit more up for it. But
correct.
Certainly this, the 30, yeah. 40 somethings, why the slowness?
I think there are a couple of things at play there. First and foremost, we have seen, again, you know, that women have a confidence issue. You know, you look at a woman, you know, a woman applies for a job. There are 10 requirements. She's got 7 of them. She goes, oops, I guess I can't reply. I don't have all 10. A man looks at that and says, I have 3. Okay, I'm going to apply anyway.
Where does that come from? That lack of confidence.
I think it's the way we I think we raise girls to and expect them to be perfect. And the girl looks at 10 and says, oh, I don't have 10. I'm a 7 out of 10. I'm not perfect. I can't apply. So, I mean, and these are things that are very subtle. Nobody's telling their daughter, don't do this or you can't be that. It's not that overt. I think it's these are the unconscious biases that we raise. I was just watching yesterday. I was waiting for a friend to join me for lunch. Mm-hmm. In front of my hotel, I see this mom with her little girl. The little girl is absolutely rambunctious and adorable, and you know, and her older brother, not very much older, is running down the street. The little girl starts running after him. The mom calls after the little girl and says, stop, 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 be careful. She didn't call after the son to say, stop, 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 be careful.
Because that's what boys do.
Because that's what boys do. And even something as subtle as that. Now, you may not agree with that. Maybe she had other reasons that I'm not aware of, or maybe the girl had issues. Maybe she couldn't see. I don't know. Yeah. There may have been totally legitimate reasons, but I'm just saying that would be one example of how we stop our girls and say, ooh, 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 be careful, but don't take a risk.
I was at a playground.
Don't fall.
I was at the playground with my girls the other day, and there was a spider web thing.
Yes.
And there were two boys, and the way boys play in it, they're hanging off it, there's one arm, and they're like little monkeys, you know, and they're falling and getting up again. And the two other girls that were obviously sister or friend, were up just on a little hill doing pirouettes. And I said, boys and girls.
Right.
Now, no one's telling them, you're a boy, you have to play on that, and you're a girl, you have to dance like ballet.
But you don't know if those girls ever tried to go hang on that, and the mom or dad said,
stop,
watch
that.
Out.
Yeah.
You're going to fall.
So tell me then, how did you manage to, as a successful businesswoman, how did you manage to avoid the pitfalls that other women...
I don't think I did avoid it. I think for a long time in my career, I was also playing it safe. And one thing I counsel young women who I mentor is you have to take the risks. You'd have to go out there and taste the risk and get ready and know that nobody's perfect. You're not perfect, but neither is anybody else. And do your best and go for it if you see an opportunity that you want to, you know, a challenge that you want to pursue. So in my case, for a number of years in my career, you know, I did the right thing. I always met my goals. I exceeded my goals. I started my career at American Express and, you know, was getting promoted every year by pretty much that formula. And then somewhere around year 6, I decided, you know, I think I want to leave at some point to start my own company. But before I do that, let me go figure out whether or not I can even run a company. So there was a small P&L within American Express, a small business effectively that had its own, you know, operations and whatever. And it was not like the prestigious job that I had been. You know, I'd been like rising the ladder in the prestigious jobs in marketing. And I said, I'm going to go see if I can run that and turn it around.
The challenge.
And I raised my hand when the job became available, and I said, I want to go run that. And somebody said, and it was like a rounding error. It wasn't even important to the company, and it didn't seem to be. And people said, why are you taking that job? That's ridiculous. You know, you could get these jobs on the next round and, you know, these higher level jobs. And I said, no, I want to figure out, you know, and I have a vision for what I think they should be doing to really make this a better, you know, and I figured, well, let me learn on their dime instead of my dime if I go out and start my own company. So I took it over. I turned it around. It became like beyond a rounding error for Americans. So it went from 900,000 revenue to about 18 million the following year.
Okay.
But more importantly, and that was still a rounding error for this multi-billion-dollar company, but it then started contributing to the credit card business in a way that, you know, it had never. So had I not taken the risk of doing something that was completely offline for the career path that I had been on, I would. And then when the head of our merchant marketing group became president of Canada, because he said our efforts helped add $200 million to the American Express card billings, he took me up there with him as the head of marketing when I was 32 years old.
Right.
That was our biggest card market outside the U.S.
And on. But it comes back to what started our conversation, Shelley, which was risk and leadership.
Right. Exactly right. Leaders lead, and one of the things they do is they establish a vision, they take the risks, and they elevate others while they're doing it.
It's been great to talk to you.
Well, thanks,
I enjoyed shooting the breeze about all things business and American politics. It's a great interest to us. Inspire Fest is the name of the event that you'll be attending.
It is. Inspire Fest 2015. You'll see the signs all over the city.
Great.
It's going to be great.
You'll be talking about women and their role in business, and then, of course, there's...
Well, I'll be talking about women and leadership.
And leadership, more importantly.
Broadly.
Is Hillary Hillary Clinton going to be the next president of America?
No question about it. We are working hard to make that happen. Earn every vote.
I like your confidence.
Thank you.
Shelley, it's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much.
There are some things in life